Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Monday, August 31st. 30th. And we just got done with our fantasy football draft for our keeper league. So we're going to do a bit of a deep dive into that. We did our mock draft last week without the keepers. So for more of a kind of standard league, but we did our actual draft tonight. But first, it is a Monday, so we are going to get into our winners of the week. And I have selected Yasmani Grandal for that crazy White Sox-Cubs game. He was the star. He six at-bats, two home runs, eight RBIs in one game. It's quite the feat to have that amount of offensive impact in a single game is truly impressive. So congratulations, Yasmani. That is my winner of the week.
Yeah, and on my end, I'd say my winner of the week is Mac Jones. He finished off the preseason 10 of 14, 156 yards and a touchdown in their win against the Giants. Bill Belichick 2 hours ago said there's going to be a lot of decisions, you know, so they're really making them think about not having a grooming process and right. Just throwing them in there when you have a former MVP quarterback that you're competing with. So,
right.
I'm slotting him as my winner of the week.
Yeah, looks good in the context of all the quarterbacks taken this year.
Right. I'll be curious to see who, because I mean, like Lance versus Jimmy G is another
right.
big one.
I feel like we've heard no news out of that, no buzz on who's starting or who's.
Right.
I think it's pretty well accepted that Lance is so raw that Garoppolo will probably start at least six or eight games at the very least.
I mean, and you'd have to think, are the Cubs going with Fields right away?
I betcha it's like a game, it's like a Herbert situation. Yeah. Would be my bet. Because, like, I don't know. They don't want to be like, oh, we signed Dalton for, like, nothing. Like, although they should. I think they should go with him right away. But,
yeah.
And then I also just want to touch on, it was week zero on Saturday. You did have a wedding, so I doubt you were able to catch much of it. But we had a little college football. I tweeted my picks out, you know, hopping into college football. And I did say, I think episode one, when we were kind of going over which sports we like betting on, which ones we don't, that I tend to make money on the NFL and then lose it all on Saturday betting NCAA football. And so, you know, the first game, I'm like, gotta bet the first game, Nebraska at Illinois. I'm like, you know, gonna sit down, watch it. It's that diet football is back. Like, it's not the NFL, but I'm watching football on my TV. So I'm like, I want to have some fun. Both these teams, you know, Nebraska is supposed to be considerably better. So I'm like, you know what? Just going over. Give me over 52.5. So Illinois jumps on Nebraska early. It's just dominance. They're just beating them. And all of a sudden I'm like, scoring kind of slows down. I'm like, this isn't looking too good for me. But then right at the end of the game, Nebraska is down. They score with like 4 minutes left. They are down 8. 4 minutes left after their touchdown. So I'm like, and that brings it to 52. It's 30-22. I'm like, this is perfect. You kick the extra point. You go down 7. So then you can then hopefully get an onside or something. Score again, and then you can make a decision whether you want to kick it to get the tie or go for two, right? Makes all the sense. Nope, they go for two right there. Don't get it. 30-22. That's your final. 52.5. Under 52 exactly. They nail the line, and they nail me is what they do. And then, you know, I get a lot of solace, and I'm not used to seeing numbers these big. I'm betting -1.5, +1.5 on baseball. So when I see a little UConn +28, and Southern Utah +24.5, I take them. And what happens? UConn loses 45-0 to Fresno State. And Southern Utah loses 45-14 to San Jose State. Nice little 0-3, down 3 units to start college football season.
Yeah, I mean, I hate betting college sports outside of March Madness. I'll throw money in March Madness, all that. But it's just, these are college kids. They're just so young and so raw that literally anything can happen.
It's true. And the good thing is that I could take solace in, I did also bet baseball that day. So, you know, a little chance to recuperate that money. I play with a couple of same game parlays that I felt really good about. Doesn't matter, 0-3. dual 0-3 days for me on Saturday. Need the NFL to come save me. Although I am against all odds, still a plus MLB gambler on the year. So, but yeah, not a good day for me on Saturday. Overall,
yeah, like you said, I had that wedding and right. I didn't even catch a game. Mm-hmm.
But let's get right into it, the draft. And also, let's say we are in fantasy football season, and so if you just had your draft, you have your draft coming up and you got some questions, maybe you just had it, send it our way. Maybe we'll, if we think you had some interesting spots, maybe we'll bring it up on our next episode. If you're thinking, what do you think about like this combo of players? Like right off the bat, it's a keeper league. So I was able to keep Justin Jefferson by losing an 11th round pick from last year. And with my third round pick, I ended up taking Adam Thielen. So it's kind of, what do you think about, you know, having that matchup? I liked Thielen where he was at. Other options are kind of Julio Jones, which, you know, kind of question marks, you know, new team. I'm sure Julio will be good, but we know what Thielen's going to be. He's going to get a ton of targets, a ton of catches. So I liked him where I got him, but then I kind of have this situation now where if I play them both in the same week, they definitely can both still have good games, but they both can't have like great over-the-top week winning games for me.
Yeah.
So do I do like the value where I got Thielen. Do I try to move them in exchange for some other pieces? Although it would be for a different wide receiver to fill the gap that he's leaving. So I kind of feel like I'm kind of stuck with him. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just an interesting take. Got to see where your head's at. So if you have anything like that, or if you just want, maybe we'll toss up some general draft grades if you want to send them our way. On Twitter is probably the best way to reach us at Weekly Winners WI. That's where all those losing picks I was given on Saturday can be found as well. But yeah, let's roll into it. 12th pick, 7th pick. So at number 7, you had a hard choice right off the bat.
So obviously with it being a keeper league, like Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Derrick Henry were already off the board.
We should also mention 2 QBs, 2 flexes, half point PPR. Quarterbacks are very valuable in this league.
Right.
We saw 3 of them go in the first round.
Right. And so I was sitting at the number 7, which the number 4 overall was already kept. So you can think of it, you know, like maybe the 6th overall pick.
Right.
I was loving it. Like, I saw Zeke go 2nd overall, which
that was crazy.
Shocked me, which had Tyreek Hill, you know, dropping down a slot.
Then. Right.
And already had it in my head. I'm like, you know, like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. I'll snag Tyreek Hill at the number 7 overall pick. I'm completely happy with that. And no, at number 6 overall, Tyreek Hill goes. So I go into full panic mode, and I make the worst pick of the draft.
You think so? Yeah.
Not like, I'm not saying overall. I mean, we watched Deshaun Watson go in the 7th round. And where we watched
7th round was a bad round, because Gronk also went the 7th round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to call it the worst overall pick, but for my team, I feel like taking Allen Robinson at number 7 overall was just not
a great player, but seeing him middle of the first round, despite the keepers, is still kind of
Right.
It feels out of place a little bit.
It does. And it's, yeah.
But at that point, wide receivers available. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Goodwin, you know, Amari Cooper. Like, I do like them out of who's available, but.
And I guess the more I look at it, because, and then, right, out of who's available, I did like him the most. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at the next best available running back, it was Saquon. And then after that, Joe Mixon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chris Carson. Like, I don't necessarily think it was as bad as I'm making it out to be. Like,
I thought about making Joe Mixon my winner of the week because this is the week every year out of all 52 weeks that the most people believe in Joe Mixon every year.
Oh, yeah. But so maybe it's not as bad.
Well, here's where I think it was you kind of set your fate in stone pre-draft. You kept had to keep Justin Herbert. Yeah. That was a given. You decided to keep Kyler Murray. You were debating on it all day long. Decided to keep Kyler and give up your second round pick. If you go back and don't do that, you could have taken advantage and taken Lamar in the first round. I know we both said we're not super high on him, but that was a little bit more value where he was kind of projected to go, where your pick was. If you could go back, would you go back and do that? Or are you
happy? No, I would much rather take Kyler in the second than I would Lamar in the first.
So who would you have picked knowing how the rest of the draft shakes out?
Who would I have picked?
Yeah, like with who was available at that time.
I mean, I wouldn't have hated Saquon. It's just the injuries scare me.
Right.
I mean, I honestly don't know. I maybe would have went like a George Kittle.
Yeah.
Like, out of the running backs available, the only one I would have thought about was Saquon. I mean, Najee projected to have a great season.
Right. I mean, he's going to have touches.
Right.
The opportunities are absolutely there.
But, I mean, out of wide receivers, I don't know if I like, you know, like Keenan Allen or Mike Evans
more. Keenan Allen in the first, I'm not feeling too good about that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess I don't know how much differently I would have done it.
So then it can't be that bad of a pick.
Right. Yeah, the more I'm looking at it, because I keep forgetting that it is keeper, you know, and lots of like value pick guys were kept.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Which makes sense.
So, like you kind of mentioned, Saquon was sitting there for you, and I'm at 12. So you take Robinson, Lamar Jackson goes right after. Next pick is where McCaffrey was kept. So there's two picks before me. I'm like, I am scared of those injuries with Saquon, but I gave up my first pick. So I don't have my first round pick. I gave it up to keep Derrick Henry. I also gave up my seventh round pick to keep David Montgomery. So those are two very solid RB1s right there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking, I'm like, if I have Derrick Henry, David Montgomery, Saquon Barkley, and Saquon's like what he was, like that's league winning. Like right. That is such a good core. Like I'm getting Saquon's like in my flex. Right. Like I'm getting running back production. He goes 10th. Russell Wilson goes 11th. And I get exactly who I was planning on getting. Although I bet you most of the draft was thinking I was going Najee at first pick of the second round. But I take George Kittle, tight end. I went over it when we did our mock. You either have Kelce, Kittle, Waller, or you're kind of – and, I mean, there's the Mark Andrews, Hockenson, and Pitts kind of tier, I guess. But I think you have to have one of those three guys, or you should just kind of be
– waiting.
Right, seeing what's available each week. So I take Kittle, lock up that spot. I'm feeling good about it. You know, I still got Henry and Montgomery for my wide receivers. I had no pressure to go quarterback because I also had kept Josh Allen. And we'll see. I wait on quarterback. And I also had kept Justin Jefferson. So I, you know, I have a quarterback, a wide receiver, a tight end, and two running backs at this point. So I have a really good spread going out of the second round. But now the wait starts. Players go, players go. You don't have your second round pick. You kept Kyler. You come all the way back around. It comes to you. Baker goes the pick before you, which was
a which I love to see as
in the third round. But yep. Yeah.
So yeah, I was kind of in the same boat as you. I had kept a tight end. I'd kept two quarterbacks and running back. Mm. So I knew wide receiver was kind of going to be the first thing I was going to have to go after. And
I will say at this point, running backs are dwindling. DeAndre Swift and Josh Jacobs just went, and Miles Sanders ends up going to pick right after you. So we're getting at the end of that, like, RB1, like, definite RB1 right. territory.
So the only player that would have been available that I would have drafted instead of the one I did was Josh Jacobs. If he would have been there, I like him. That was kind of who I was hoping, but I ended up taking Chris Godwin at the number three. I mean, or not number three, third round pick. He just puts up numbers. I mean, he's that offense scores a ton. And as someone who was a Ronald Jones faithful last year, running backs don't score much.
No.
Definitely a pass-heavy offense. So, I mean, we've seen him produce enough where
– there's just so many receivers on that.
Right. And that is a little scary, but chance I take. There were so many receivers last year, and he – Still produces. I mean,
they just might mess around and have like 3,000 receivers.
Right.
It's completely on the table.
Yeah. And I mean, we're at that tier where it's like Miles Sanders, and I'm not high on him. I thought about it for a second, but, you know, like Darrell Henderson, but with the trade, who knows the volume there. So.
Yeah, so we get through you. It goes a couple of tight ends go. Well, Kelsey was capped at the third round pick, which I don't know how that even happened last year. That's right. Such a good keeper to give up your third for Kelsey. But and then Pitts goes right after that. So he sneaks up into the third round. So I'm sitting there, you know, like I said, kind of a good spread. So I elect to go double wide receivers with my back-to-back picks. I go Thielen and Cooper Kupp. So I'm looking at Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, trio receiver. I'm feeling really good about it. If I could go back, I would maybe put a little more thought into Julio over Thielen to avoid that double Vikings matchup. But other than that, it was like Brandon Ayuk or Deontay Johnson up there. And I think Thielen's just going to give you that proven production. So I'm still feeling very good. Cup as Stafford now, like I just like where I'm at with my receivers. I won't have my next pick, so you know I'm waiting a long time to only make one pick for like the next two rounds. So I like locking up a position. I won't really have to, you know, address it again. And if it wasn't for these two guys, say like Thielen or Cup went the pick before me, I wouldn't have made the gamble I did. You'd say I got a whiteboard right above my laptop. I had a bunch of guys slotted where I thought they were going to go and where I wanted to pick them. And I had a nice number three next to the name Gus Edwards, just because J.K. Dobbins goes down. So I'm like 10 hours before the draft. And how many people do you think knew that? I'm betting like 9 three or 10.
Oh, you think
I so? Think it was a little higher.
You think so?
Well, no one drafted. So
that's what I'm saying. I don't think a lot of people knew.
It's possible. Well, I'm saying J.K. Dobbins. Like,
right, that's fair.
Though I guess you probably should at least click. You would have seen a little thing next to his name if you went to draft him.
Right.
But so I'm thinking about taking him. But like for some reason, I'm like, I bet you I can, you know, get him to sneak out into the. Because my next pick is at 6. I have end of 5th, sort of 6th round Like, I get him at 6. I thought I would take him at 3 just because I'm like, there's a decent amount of pretty smart guys in this league. Like, I betcha he's going to get snatched up. Especially there's three guys really that go draft right before me. Honestly, the back half of the draft is kind of loaded. Like, I think makes sense, you know, how the league finished last year. Those are kind of the more sharp guys where I'm like, I've played a lot of fantasy football guys with him. Like, he might go here, but I let it go. I'm like, it's fine. I like where my team's at. So it goes all the way down. I'm like, hopefully he can get back to me at 6. So it gets to you in the 4th round.
Yeah. So here's where I only have one.
And this is back roster. You're scrambling at this pick a little bit as well. You did not know what you were going to do with it.
I didn't. I thought Julio was going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be sitting there with a Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, and Julio trio, would have been totally cool with. Julio didn't. He got snatched. Then Ridley was kept, and then Ayuk went. So now we're at that, you know, like second tier where you have, you know, guys that either split carries and but are still getting like 12.
You're guys that are like RB1s, like not even like having a third down back coming. Those guys are gone. Like,
right. And so, yeah, it's either RB1s with a question mark is like how many carries they're going to get, or mm-hmm. they're just young, or you're getting guys that are splitting. So I took a chance on a guy, on a rookie, Javonte Williams. It's just, I mean, at that point, Darrell Henderson was still on the board. I debated about him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Kareem Hunt, Raheem Mostert, I mean, two guys, heavy split.
Clear kids. Number twos, even.
Yeah.
Mostert is just going to be a matchup thing, but.
Right. And, but yeah, so I went with Javonte Williams. He does have Melvin Gordon there, but this isn't Melvin Gordon of 3 years
if
ago.
If he can show anything, they'll ride with him.
Right.
If they can give him and if they can he can give the coaching staff any presence of like security with him, you have to think he's pretty much the full time back, but we just don't really know that much about him.
Right. So then it loops around couple.
Gus makes it out of the 4th for me. I'm like, kind of thought that would happen. It gets to you. He's still not there. I have to just keep my mouth shut here. And I'm like, there's a few amount of guys. At this point, I don't think he's going to slip to me.
Right. Because I immediately wanted to come back and come back with a wide receiver. So there's two names that came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I debated till I had about 2 seconds left on the shot clock. That was Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I personally think T. Higgins will be better, but it just, in the back of my mind, I just remember, like, you know, like Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase did play together. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Burrow might just be more comfortable with him. He didn't have a full season with T. Higgins last year. So I ended up taking Ja'Marr Chase and hoping maybe Higgins would fall to the 6th then for me. So I take Ja'Marr and we come back to Jer.
Yeah, and it's like pick by pick. He doesn't go. I'm just waiting for him. And he does fall for me. And I believe at this point, I draft Gus Edwards. I get up from my chair and I proclaim I just won the league. I was very hyped about getting Gus at 6. I mean, it's a clear number one back in the 6th round. I just feel really good about it. The Ravens are a run-heavy team. Like, the offensive line is a little bit worse than last year, but
it did help you, though, too, so because there's 4 picks in between us, mm-hmm. and 2 of those were kept. So there really,
right,
really
there was
only 2 true picks.
Yeah, I was, but, like, Raheem Mostert went in those 2 picks, and, like, you have to think you'd much rather have Gus Edwards than Raheem Mostert this year. So, and the way I knew it was a good pick is I immediately got 2 texts from guys coming back, like, I can't believe you did it. Like, I thought he was – so they did the same thing I did where rather than picking him in the 5th, they were going to let a couple picks wrap around and pick him up in the 6th. But I waited just long enough to get him, it looks like. So I'm flying high, but now I got another long road awaiting ahead for me. And we go on a little bit of a string of running backs with Chase Edmonds, Ronald Jones, and Devin Harris going.
Damien Harris going. And so immediately when Damien Harris goes off the board, I'm like, I should have taken him. I think he'll get volume no matter who's playing QB this year.
We mentioned it a little when we talked to our player props, but
right. Yeah, I immediately regretted not drafting him because although I knew the J.K. Dobbins news, completely forgot about Gus Edwards. Yeah. And that's where it benefit to have a nice whiteboard like you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we go on a string of running backs. T. Higgins is sitting there and I pick him up. I have the same mentality as Jer, where I don't really like the whole multiple wide receivers on the same team. But I might just wait out the first few weeks and then kind of see who's, if anyone looks like they're going to be that clear number one, and just try to trade the other for a serviceable running back.
Well, to see, everyone keep posted. Maybe there's a Jamar Chase, Adam Thielen trade in the works a couple weeks down the line. Solve both our problems. But yeah, so keeps trucking. After that, Noah Fant goes, which that's the first tight end one where I'm like, oof. Noah Fant in the, was that the set, sixth? Like, I don't like taking guys like that early. But that, after we wrap around, a bunch of receivers go, you're Claypool's, Charks, Odell. We wrap around. Deshaun Watson goes off the board. And then Jerry Judy, Juju, Gronk. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Like.
And then Michael Thomas, the pick right after. Like, Michael Thomas in the seventh round feels like pretty good value. Like, that's – I think I mentioned this when we did our mock draft. Is if you could pick Michael Thomas up in a late round – and you think your team is good enough to kind of carry to the playoffs, he might come on at the end of the year and really win you a league.
Right.
If he can produce like a wide receiver one that you picked up in like the seventh round, that could be quite the value pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Devonta Smith goes right before me. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, I like some of these wideouts. But I should address that we're in round seven and I do only have two running backs on the roster. So we're kind of in that backup territory slash people splitting carries. So I kind of went with a guy who is in another one of those run heavy offenses. And a guy that's looked really good in preseason, and that's Trey Sermon. I don't know. I feel like, although it is Mostert's job to lose, I feel like as long as Trey plays well the first few weeks, I think he'll be guaranteed, you know, like that 8 to 10 carries a game.
It'll be a managing challenge because you know that the 49ers will ride with a hot hand. So there will be games where he does next to nothing just because Mostert's playing well, but if you can pick the games where maybe he gets an opportunity and takes advantage early, I think he could have some big games for you. But it's starting him in the right places that I think is the.
And I'm fine. Like, if he only, I'm fine running wideouts in my flex, and he only needs to step in on bye weeks. Like,
that's what you have to hope. Yeah. And so it gets down to me, Robert Tonyan goes, Melvin Gordon. We're kind of getting into that definite bench units. And this is where I did like the pick I made. I didn't have my seventh round pick because of David Montgomery, keeper. But I did have my eighth. And I took Mike Williams, which you were none too pleased with me after that one. And I do like the pick I made. Looking back this round, or maybe – definitely the next two is where I probably should have started looking at quarterbacks, but I had done like 10 mock drafts earlier in the day and every single one, I was able to pick up Jameis in like the 15th round. I was like, this is perfectly fine. Jameis is going to, I think he's going to put up numbers perfectly well. I have Josh Allen already, like Josh Allen and Jameis, that's going to be, that's perfectly fine for my quarterbacks. So I was kind of banking on that. So I take Mike Williams, and I'm still feeling all right about the quarterback situation because no one, a lot of people have two, but no one's really reaching in for like a third yet. There's a couple guys waiting for their second, but I think at this point I counted it out and there's four guys still waiting on a second, including me, a second quarterback, and Jameis was projected like fifth or sixth out of those guys. So I'm like, still feeling pretty good about this. So I take Mike Williams, which I stand by that pick. I think I'd still do that.
Yeah, I think that was a very good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so then it rolls over to me, and I think I say to Jer, I'm like, I would really love to get LaVisca Chenault here. 5 seconds after that, the pick before me, LaVisca Chenault off the board. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of sitting there, and Jer's like, well, you know, like Brandon Cooks is there, which, yeah, he's on the Texans, but someone has to catch the football.
He's a very clear, like, wide receiver one. Like, there's no one on that team. Like,
right.
He's going to get a lot of targets.
Right. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? Let's run with it.
They can't – like, Tyrod's not going to be putting up, like, 100-yard games every week. Like, he's still going to be, you know – an NFL quarterback, like,
right?
There's going to be yards to be had,
and that's the thing. Tyrod did look really good at
the
start of last year.
He's like a fine quarterback,
but yeah. So I stuck with Cooks there, and then some interesting wideouts in my opinion, like Nicole went in the in the eighth. Debo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, and then Tyler Boyd. Jer wanted me to get Tyler Boyd.
Because, I did want to get Tyler Boyd.
To get that trio.
The trifecta.
Then back-to-back tight ends with Logan Thomas and Mike Gesicki.
Yeah.
And then one of the most scratch-your-head picks of the draft.
Inexplicably. To go defense. With the Bucs defense going off the board.
In the ninth round.
And I believe at this point, I'm like, I have to look into this. And I asked Cody, hey, let's compare, you know, the Bucs to who the 13th best defense is, who definitely won't be drafted here. Like, you know, everyone will draft one defense. What do you think the projected point difference over a season is? And it ends up being 11 points. So spending that draft pick for projected 11 points over a full season over a defense that you could pick up off the free agency is questionable, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here hating all the running backs left. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to load up on wideouts. Hopefully enough of them pan out where I can trade for serviceable running backs. And kind of looking at the board, I see Pittman there. I see and I see Ruggs there. Kind of like, well, I wouldn't mind either. I'd prefer Ruggs because I think the quarterback play is better in Vegas.
Well, the thing that perplexed me is when I like the Ruggs pick that you made a lot, but especially guys drafting before you in that round, especially in a keeper league, I don't see how you can look and be like, yeah, I'd rather have Tyler Boyd or Will Fuller over Henry Ruggs.
Right. I was ecstatic when I saw Will Fuller go off the board
before
me. I'm like, I think I was on the clock for about half a second. Yep, Ruggs, bring him over. I mean, it's just you never know. Like, I'm fine spending a, what is that, ninth round pick on the chance that a dude takes a big second year leap. Like, I'm fine taking the chance in the ninth round. Because if he does take a giant leap, he's a keeper next year.
All right.
You know, if he takes a DK Metcalf type leap.
That's what you have to hope for,
Which, you know, doesn't happen every year. I can't bank on it, but the potential's there. I mean, he's got all the skills in the world. I mean,
and then this is where maybe should have been my first wake-up call. Big Ben and Justin Fields go before my next two picks. And that should have been maybe, okay, quarterbacks are starting to go here. These are bench players that I'm drafting. Like, they might make, you know, a flex for a week or two. Like, let's shore up that quarterback spot. Like, I don't know if I would have taken Jameis, like, right there and then, even though I wanted him. Zach Wilson was still available. Like, Tua was still there. But I guess it probably would have been Jameis still, but I really thought I could have waited several more rounds. So, but then also I was kind of blinded because I saw both Corey Davis and Marquise Brown coming up. And I was looking for a kind of a replicate of when I went, you know, Thielen and Kupp back to back. Like, if I can get both these young guys back to back, like, that's enough. Like, I took care of my top end receivers. Now, like, couple of second tier wide receivers, like, back to back, especially after getting Mike Williams. I'm like, I've got like six pretty good options at receiver there. If I pull this off, Corey Davis goes right before me. So I pick Marquise Brown, still happy about that. But this is where I probably should have just been like, Jameis Winston, let's get it over with. Instead, I go AJ Dillon, who's like the most obvious, like, he's good, but he's a number two. Like, it's going to be so touchdown dependent, like, especially with the running backs I see. Is he really going to see the field? This is my worst pick in the draft, is A.J. Dillon. Like, I have, like, maybe he may in a bye week he sees, like, the flex, and I have to pray he, like, steals a touchdown.
Right.
Like, what is he doing on my team, really? So then it goes back, and two picks later, Jameis goes off the board, and I start – to get nervous. Zach Wilson goes right after. Tua goes in the same round. Daniel Jones goes in the same round. So now I'm kind of panicking, but then I'm like, well, I've fully missed out now. Like, right. Now I'm looking at like a 16th round quarterback that we're looking at like a, I'm looking at like a Derek Carr, worst case, like a Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, worst case, I take like Goff, who's still, right. You know, he's put up numbers before, obviously, in much more talented rosters, but like, whatever. It's cool. It's fine. It's so all those quarterback go in that round. You end up picking up a pretty strong pick. You liked it as well.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of him. I was not really sure where to take him because I'm not sure how high everyone else was on him, but Darnell Mooney, for the Bears. This was kind of more of a future pick. Just because I do think, you know, Fields, like you said, Dalton might play a game or two. But I think Fields, you know, his rookie year, I wouldn't be shocked if he heavily relies on Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Darnell Mooney had a heck of a rookie season. And, I really like this pick in the 10th round. Wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here next year and I'm like, yep, kept him. Only had to give up a 10th round pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then another defense goes right after me, the Rams.
Yeah, I guess like once the first one goes, that seal's kind of broken, where it's like if you're someone who feels like they need to have a top-tier defense, you might feel the pressure a little bit, but waiting seemed to be the move. Right. We both employed it. Wraps around. I don't know if we need to really mention any of the players going between our picks anymore. We're kind of at the getting to the end here, filling out bench players and potential keepers for next year. So you end up getting a wide receiver two in your next pick, which is good value at the position.
Yeah. I was kind of looking through, was debating if I wanted to go like with a rookie that had a potential to have a good season. And then I saw Russell Gage there. It's the Falcons. They throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. I mean, and with Julio gone, he just moves up the depth chart.
Yeah, it's a good pickup.
Good potential value there.
For sure. And then Trey Lance ends up going right before my next pick. I only have one again because of my keeper of Justin Jefferson. But at this point, I'm so – and Fitzpatrick and Carr end up going before, but I'm like, yeah, I'm just getting like, I really kind of had my eye on Carr. I was like, I can't. So then once he's gone, I was like, whatever. I'll just take Carson Wentz. Like, if it doesn't work out, I'll scramble and get someone else. I'll make a trade or something. Maybe I'm going to just get Carson Wentz. The potential is at least there. So, like, I can wait on this. So I go Jamal Williams, which I don't hate the pick. DeAndre Swift, they paid him, you know, pick him up from the Packers. DeAndre Swift had kind of some of the health issues last year. He is, like, he's very good, but there's a world where he misses a couple of games. And there's a world that they take a page out of the Raiders book with Josh Jacobs, and they just don't want to put that many miles on their young back early. So maybe that's the reason they picked up, you know, a serviceable number two who can get some carries and maybe get some red zone touches. Right. So I like the pick where it was. Again, it probably should have been a quarterback.
Yeah, because especially with Carr and Fitzpatrick still on the board.
I probably should have taken Carr at that point because they end up going in the same round. But it wraps around Sam Darnold goes, Carson Wentz goes. So then I'm like, this is where we were clued in a little bit, like a little worried that we're going to take each other's like keeper picks. So you go Mac Jones to get who I wasn't really looking Mac Jones for my quarterback, but you look at him for, you know, to replicate a Justin Herbert type keeper.
Well, right. Because I mean, say Mac Jones puts up similar numbers to Herbert. It's like, okay, then I get Mac Jones with my 13th pick.
Right. And then another defense goes, Teddy Bridgewater goes, Jared Goff goes. At this point, I'm like, I'm on a guy's. Like, there's no one left. Like, I'm kind of panicking at this point. I'm like, all right, Cam Newton, like, the Patriots have, like, built themselves for the run. Like, at the very least, I do think they're going to start with him. And I think we think similarly on this, that Mac Jones will play. But they didn't re-sign Cam for nothing. Like, I think they're going to – he will play at least, you know, four games-ish. Right. I'll have to look at what the actual start of their schedule looks like to kind of break that down a little more. But I pick him up, and then immediately I'm like, I just don't feel good about it in my heart of hearts. So I – back-to-back picks, I go Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor. Like, oddly – Tyrod Taylor might have top 10 job security in the league at quarterback. So that was kind of my Cam Newton safety pick. Like, if he does, when he does lose his job, I've got Tyrod to do whatever he is able to do. At least it's not the strongest division. Like,
right.
They'll have some games against like the Jaguars or something, but like, I don't feel good about my quarterback situation. And this was kind of thrown in. I had all these picks planned out from my mock drafts. I had these, you know, guys that I thought were value at the position that I was really confident that I could get. And this was kind of throwing a wrench in it because I thought I was going to be able to get Jameis a lot later than I did. I get back on pace a little bit. I also, on my draft board with the pick that I took either Cam or Tyrod with, I kind of slotted in, if you can get the Washington football team defense at this position, maybe do it. I could, like, at least consider it at that point, because I was like, there might be zero defenses gone at this point if the draft goes differently. But where we're at, there's like five gone. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait just because – they're not ranked that way. I think Washington is the top defense by a long margin.
Right.
Just that the conference they play. Like, there's so many favorable matchups that you have to look at where it's going to be, like, low scoring and turnover opportunities. Like, we're both pretty high on the Giants. But if you're a Washington football team defense owner and you see the Giants on the matchup, you're like 11, like, hold them to 10 points, like, pick or two from Danny Dimes, like, it's not out of the question at all.
Yeah.
But no, I go double quarterback, and I'm just sick to my stomach. Like, up until the quarterback fiasco started, I was proclaiming how much I love my team. I still love my team, but like, if right now I could swap out AJ Dillon for Jameis Winston, I would be like over the moon. I'd be like, this team like doesn't have holes. Like, it is so good. Like, maybe I have to work around and try to, you know, make a trade for a more serviceable second quarterback so I can feel a little bit better about it. But that's not words you want to be saying mere hours after your draft.
Right. So yeah, then we looped to me in the 14th, and I missed my pick because that's where I kept Herbert.
Great.
Feeling great.
Wraps back around, and yeah, it's either like end of bench, long shots, or hey, I might keep this guy at this point.
Right. And so I grabbed Gabriel Davis. Very hit or miss last year. It was either he put up 0 points or he put up like 15. Just hoping he's a little more consistent this year. It's really all that was.
Yeah. It gets to him, and I kind of get back on track with guys that I wanted to pick. And I go with Trotman, the kid for the Saints, Adam Trotman. I just think, you know, Jameis isn't really familiar with a lot of these targets. Like, big body, young tight end. There's several question marks in that, like, receiving core. Especially, like, Kamara isn't getting a lot of red zone carries. Like, I think there's a hole to be filled there. So, I don't think it's anything specifically about Trotman himself, but just the position he's in. I think a New Orleans tight end is a pretty decent spot to be in. So I take him. I feel pretty good about it. And I pick up Kadarius Toney, who, small, speedy running back for the Giants. This is purely a future keeper play. I think he's like number four on the depth chart for the Giants right now. I don't think he's going to see a whole lot of play, but the potential is there. I think he's a kind of a boomer bust. We'll see. But he'll have to obviously show a little bit for me to use one of my keepers on him, but what do you want me to say? He's in 16th round pick. So.
All right. That loops back to my 16th, where I kept Dallas Goedert. It's kind of why I neglected the tight end position.
Right.
I mean, number six tight end last year. Does have Ertz coming back, but everything is indicating that he's still going to kind of be the tight end one there. Mm-hmm. Might lose a few touchdowns to Ertz. But
maybe. And Ertz goes several rounds before that.
Unless you have Kelce, Kittle, or Waller, I hate the tight end position.
Yeah.
And I don't care about it. So
I think there is a little upside with Hockenson with Goff coming. Like, there's a chance that's just his favorite target in Detroit, you know, but he's clearly not, even if that happens, he's unlikely to enter the realm of those top three guys.
Yeah.
And then it gets back around to you, and you're making future plays as well, as everyone is at this point.
I am. So I took the fact that Rodgers, that contract, they can now part ways after the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with Jordan Love. Because if they do part ways, I'm fine losing my 17th round pick on the chance that Jordan Love is serviceable in 2022.
Mm-hmm. So put some odds on it for me. What if everything goes right? What are the odds next year you're keeping Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Mac Jones?
Pretty good chance. Because I would just have so much value there.
Well, you'd have to almost look to trade one, right?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would look. That's one thing I wish we had added. I would maybe look to trade him before the draft.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But. So it gets to me. I explained this on our mock draft. I'm just looking at this point, I was like convinced. I was just looking at first round matchups for defenses. I'm going to go ahead and pick a defense here and just see, like, who do I want week one? Because I'll probably just drop them and pick up. And I'm like, Chargers play the football team week one. Chargers, I said Washington was the best fantasy defense. I think the Chargers might be the best defense in the NFL, but in that division, tough. Like, they're going to have some tough matchups, especially in the AFC. I'd rather have an NFC team, just a little bit lighter. Goes the pick right before me. The guy takes his second defense. He had already taken the Broncos defense earlier, and he takes the Chargers after that. So I'm like, what's going on? Am I in the live chat? Like, can they hear me, what I'm saying? I'm like, whatever, I'll take the Giants. That's decent enough week one matchup. And then we actually have two IR spots as well. So this is a perfect opportunity. Take a player on the IR, sit him there all year for a potential, you know, keeper, lose your 18th round pick. So I take Etienne. I think that's, you know, they spent a first round pick on him. He gets back next year. Hopefully he's very fresh. Hopefully the recovery goes well. And I feel very good. And that kind of starts a trend. Cam Akers goes right over, right after, and J.K. Dobbins right after that. Kind of, you know, very similar type thought process is going on.
Yeah, so then my last pick, I was trying to scour through, see if there's any guys on the IR I could
really look at. There's really not much.
No, and at this point, I could have taken a defense, but any defense I was going to take would be there.
Right.
You know, it's – so I just took Traquan Smith. He's the number two in New Orleans, and I'm just banking on the fact that one of my guys ends up on the IR by week one, so I can slot him there and pick up a defense.
Right. And that's like draft ends, I immediately shipped Etienne to the IR, picked up Pat Freiermuth, who's the kind of the surprise tight end draft of the Steelers. No one really thought they were going to take a tight end because Ebron's been just fine. But, you know, there's a guy there who he's big, he's an athlete. The team sees something in them, and it's like, oh, they must have seen something if they took him there in a position not really of need. Then, yeah, I'm comfortable picking him up. Although there's not a ton of value there because as a free agent, I would lose a 12th round pick to keep him. Rather than if I would have drafted him, I would have lost like a 15th or 16th round pick. But, you know, me picking him as I guess if I would have gone back, I would have taken him in the 15th. Taken Etienne at the 16th, IR Etienne, and then picked up a defense like the Giants. But these things are unlikely to make a play,
right?
Make a result in my season. So.
Well, because that's the thing. I don't know how like the Jags could run with Etienne if James Robinson has another year. Like
right, that would be tough. Like, but it's just, you know, 16th, 18th round pick. I mean, that's. Right.
Like I can't believe they even drafted him.
Right. I thought about Cam Akers as well, but it's like, you know, the whole them using a first round pick, I'm like, they're not just gonna like let him dwindle and never give him an opportunity. Like he's gonna at the very least, you know, split carries. Right. So yeah, so that's kind of how our drafts went. I guess yell at us for the mistakes we made or pat me on the back for my Gus Edwards pick. I sure could use it. Send me words of affirmation that Cam Newton's going to revert back to MVP form and play all 17 games. Really help me sleep at night.
Well, you had a trade offer for a QB.
Yeah,
on the table.
Yeah.
Sent him a little Mac Jones for Derrick Henry action and very quickly declined. But
yeah, he's that guy in your league, as everyone knows, one. He's sitting right here, so be wary of those guys. Everyone does have, you know, the joke trade, and then there's also the I'm gonna propose a trade to you every week that's like a terrible deal for you, but like I'll talk it up like it's
all right.
Ours is our commissioner. It'll be like, oh, this guy for this guy, this guy's way better than this guy, like the upside for this guy. And it's like, if that was true, why are you offering this trade to me straight up? Right. You clearly don't actually believe this. Like, that's where trades are so hard in fantasy, where it's like, if you get an offer that's like a one guy for one guy type thing, unless it's truly like a big need position for both parties, you have to just be like, something's fishy here. Because why would you, especially guys at the same position, like, clearly, like, you think this guy is superior to the guy you're offering me. Like, why would I ever do this unless I think you're off base for some reason?
Right. I mean, like, yeah, because they could be comparable if it's like trading running back for wide receiver.
Right. It's like, oh, I just need a wide receiver. Oh, I need a running back. Right. Like, or ones that are like, you know, a backup quarterback for like a flex receiver. Like, it's hard to compare value there. But yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, I'm more active on the waiver wire than I am for trades, but
I always like want to be active on trades. It's just no one checks it enough. No one ever.
It's tough. It's yeah.
Like I wish I could just sit in a room and discuss like trades in person.
Yeah. That would be a lot better. Maybe we'll have look in the future, maybe a couple weeks down the road, we'll have a live trade discussion that, you know, Jamar Chase, Adam Thielen, Mac Jones, full little deal we got going on. But till then, we're going to wait and see. As always, Twitter's the way to communicate with us, whether it's sending us fantasy stuff, asking for advice, seeing our picks. That's the place where we're both checking more often. But until then, football, it's here. Good luck in your fantasy drafts. Good luck in week one. I've held off, but I'm ready to look at those week one lines. I think maybe
I know.
I want to do it for, you know, that Thursday episode before the season, but I'm itching to look at them. But we'll have that last Thursday before football episode coming to you this Thursday. Hold on until then, and thanks for listening.